right, this week I get to welcome onto the show a friend and a listener of the show. Nikki, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, James.
That looked like the recording levels were better this time. Yeah, there you go. We've talked on the internet for a couple years now. Pretty sure you found me through Survival Podcast, like several people did. You are a tiny house prepper as well, so this should be a fun conversation. Lots of things in common here.
Yes.
If the internet recording gods will allow it to be anyway. So, tell me, to the people that don't know, who is Nikki Halverson?
I live up in northern Wisconsin in the woods. We left the city, Minneapolis, about 3 years ago. We got sick of living in the city and just wanted to kind of get away from everybody. And I have a small child. He's 5. He's wild. And so he needs the woods to be able to run around in. I make soap, and I make all sorts of random things, I guess. Kind of have a ton of skills to, I don't know. I have a bunch of side hustles, I guess I could say it like that.
Yeah. And I can vouch that you make amazing soap.
Thank you.
I don't know if you have my favorite soap, but I probably... me and Serenity were just talking about it. We need to make another soap order from you in the very near future.
It's on my list to make, actually, because some of my oils were back-ordered for a couple weeks, and so I'm kind of... I have a backlog of soap.
Awesome. She makes a soap scented called Woods and Rum, which is just the most manly thing you could ever, like... You know, men don't really want fruity, smelly, you know, girly stuff. We want to smell like diesel and, you know, gasoline and man, you know, sawdust. This is about as close as you're going to get, besides just rolling around in the dirt.
I have a new one you might like called Leather. It kind of smells like gunmetal and an old holster.
Yeah, I will be taking some bars of that, too. That definitely sounds like something I'd like. Let's see. That's blah, 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 blah. So, I know from talking to you that you're into prepping. So, what got you interested in that? What's your story?
In 2008, my husband and I bought a house in Minneapolis, and it wasn't a very big house. It was just like a regular size little rambler house. And he was working for UPS at the time, and he got laid off during the... recession that we had.
Yeah.
And I got laid off 5 months later from my hotel job in downtown Minneapolis, and we had this house and a mortgage, and we were basically fucked. Like, we had no money coming in. And, we started kind of freaking out that we were going to lose the house, but we didn't. We both ended up getting jobs after about 4 months. And then... we started kind of like hoarding up beans and rice and different things to eat that were cheap, that we didn't have to spend lots of money on to make meals out of. And then we started just kind of looking on the internet on money, like for on money forums and ways to save money. And then my husband found a podcast, the Survival Podcast, and they were talking about, you know, when you do have money, buying extra food and just keeping it around, and that way if something happens, you have a little bit of a back stock. And then that led into learning new skills and gardening and growing food and canning and pressure canning leftover food and making giant pots of soup, and it just all kind of exploded from there.
Awesome. There's a lot of similarities there. Like, we both got into it about the same time, somewhere around 2008, is when I got into it. A little bit different, but it was just, I was looking for novelty survival, like apocalypse kits. And I found, yeah, I just wanted like some wall hangings. Like, oh, this is a cool thing to add to my wall here. And I found some real like survival forms. And I'm like, wow, this is a rabbit hole I never thought about. And it kind of opened my eyes that way. And then I found the Survival Podcast. And, you know, it's, you know, if you find the wrong places when you first get into prepping, like, you'll get turned off. Like, because there's some nut jobs out there. It's like, it's fun to laugh about now, you know, but if you're first getting into it and you come across some of these, like, just crazy nut bags, it'll turn you off. Like, I'm sure you know the company Ready Made Resources.
Yes.
They're one of Jack's sponsors. I was following, like, getting their emails and following them on Facebook for a while, but their owner is a nut job. Like, reading some of his he's pretty much like directly in the line, like, that Revelations is going to happen and God's going to come snatch up people. And it's like, you start reading the stuff from this guy, it's like, he's crazy. I can't deal with this guy anymore.
I don't know anything about the company at all. I know some people that are like bunkering down waiting for end times, and that's not me at all.
No. I'm more of the mindset that the prepping should help you now and not just for like an emergency if it ever happens. Like, you know, like as preppers, you know, we usually have our bug out bags or we're more prepared, and like, you know, you're out in the park and you're playing with your friends and your family and your kids, and it's like, oh, I have bug spray because I have a bug out bag. Like, that helps me now. You know, I've got a spare change of socks in the car. You know, that helps me now. Not like I want to be miserable and live in a bunker now. That's not it for me.
No, that's totally me. I'm the girl that, you know, I have a barf cleanup kit in the back of my car
for when
my kid barfs, and I always have everything on me. You know, bandages, all sorts of things for the kids if they, you know, fall outside or, you know, get screwed up somehow. Like, I'm the one with the sunscreen and the bug spray and the bandages and the snacks and the water and the snow kit. Everything.
Yeah, prepping should be for the more, you know, the more likely things. Like, I always preach that people should be prepared for job loss. That's what got you and your husband into it, was job loss, like being laid off. Like, that's more likely to happen than the total collapse of the United States government. It happens to everybody. It happens to people every single day. So being prepared for that, being prepared for those little tiny things is way, like, you know, I think as preppers, there's a piece in the back of our mind that we all want to have that bunker with a, like, 100 years worth of food stored. It's not realistic. Being prepared for, like, you know, having sun, you know, lotion in your car and Band-Aids, you're going to need that, like, a lot.
Yeah, the other thing, too, I'm always worried about is getting snowed in up here.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's, like, 12 miles for me to get into town. We do have a snowplow, but it's like, do I want to go on those icy roads? And so I make sure that I have plenty of food stocked up, so if we get snowed in, it's like, well, whatever, we just don't leave the house right now. We're just going to hang out, build a snow fort, and eat some soup.
Which is really important where you're at. You up in the north where you're at, you have a lot of snow. I don't have that much snow down here, but we also, like, they don't plow our roads. So, you know, it's...
You guys get a lot of ice down there, it seems like. When it does get cold, it turns to ice.
Yeah, it'll snow, get hot during the day, and then refreeze at night, and then we've got these solid sheets of ice. And on the road I'm on, they don't plow it. Like, the mail won't run. The mail people refuse to come down my street when it snows because it's that bad. So, you know.
Isn't that against their motto? Aren't they supposed to, like, deliver mail in all weather?
You know what? I bitched about that one year because I was waiting for a package and it was, like, snowed in, and Melanie was like, Melanie Crow was like, don't make fun of the post office. And I'm like, you're fine, but these dickholes out here, they're driving their own car. They don't even have a mail van, and the roads aren't plowed, so I understand, but I'm still pissed because I want my mail.
Yeah, I got into a huge fight. It took me 2 years to get the post office to deliver mail to my house. They said I was too rural, even though our neighbor, who's 30 feet away from our driveway, gets mail, and they just were like, we're not driving that 30 feet to your mailbox.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it took me, like, going to the post office and raising hell and, like, getting my friend's mother involved, who's a postal worker, and then a new post office, a general guy or whoever, retired and getting a new person in. I mean, it was, like, this big ordeal. And now I can finally get mail to my house.
Yeah. You know what? I love living in my tiny house in the woods. But one time I wrote an article, like, 12 things about being semi-off the grid that sucks. And I'm like, it's, you know, coming from a city to a rural, you know, I'm a guy, so I'm pretty okay with, like, living pretty scraggly. Serenity's had to deal with a whole bunch, like, no running water when we got here. And that kind of shit. So
yeah, when we moved up here, we had to wait, like, 2 months for the well guy to fit us into his schedule to drill our well. So we didn't have any running water, and we had to go to town, fill up 5-gallon jugs, bring them back to our house, take showers at, you know, with one of those stupid solar shower things, and then it got too cold, so then I had to take showers at the truck stop and do, like, washcloth baths on my kid, and it was just, it sucked. It sucked bad. And then it took some guy trying to get into the shower stall where I was taking a shower and me, like, losing my mind when I came home and, like, kind of bitched out my husband, and then he got the shower put in.
Yeah. Men will get around to it eventually. It just takes a while. I probably would have not done the hot water part for much longer if it wasn't for Serenity. Like, I was okay with walking next door to Mike's and just showering. And, like, whatever, I just walk up there and shower and boil water when I need it. But women like their hot water. It's, yeah, they like it.
Yeah, I take exceptionally hot showers. That my husband has made comments that I'm piping in the water straight from hell because it's so hot. But, I mean, that's what I like. And I put up with some drama in the beginning to get water, so I have no regrets now.
Right. And I have on here to talk about sort of the hot water a little bit later, but the EcoTemp hot water heater we have is amazing. Like, it's got, like, this, you know, it's got a little knob, like, you turn it, you know, the heat to get more hot and less hot, which is a little weird because I don't have the water mixed yet. But we almost have to turn it all the way down to the lowest temperature and then just barely nudge it up, because if you turn it all the way over, like, it's almost boiling water coming out. So it's a good little heater. It puts out some, and more vouching for it. It runs off of a 20-pound propane tank, and at the end of winter, I bought a new propane tank because I was using propane for the heat too. And I think, like, 2 weeks ago, we had to go get a new propane tank. So it went the entire summer on one propane tank. So, you know, three people showering, one propane tank. That's amazing for, you know, off the grid.
Do you have a, is it like a tankless heater that, is it like for camping? Or is it like a legitimate propane water heater?
No, it's for camping, and I've got it mounted in the house under the sink. But, it's tankless. It heats the water as it passes through it.
That's what our brand is called EcoSmart, and it's a home tankless water heater.
Uh-huh.
The only thing about it, though, is, like, we have kind of a sandy well, and the sand was getting trapped in this little mechanism, and it was causing it not to function. So we had to install, like, a professional-grade water filter into our water supply to kind of filter out the sand. And then once we've done that, we haven't had any issues.
I had a couple of issues. I had to take it apart and tweak this little screw because we've got we've got rainwater being pumped in, and the flow from the water pump was too low to where I needed to, like, adjust the sensor on it so that it was better with the low water flow. And since I did that, it works fine. And because it was just like cutting off because the water flow wasn't high enough.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, but you know, thank God for YouTube. Just watch. Like I was like, oh, you got this problem? Bam, do this. You're fixed. Good to go. And I was like, wow, that totally worked. So we've kind of talked about the house already. Just let the people know about your house.
My house is 20 by 20. It's 400 square feet, and then it has loft space where we sleep. And we have a well that we had drilled. It was 90 feet down, I think. It was pretty deep. And then we have the water pumped into our house, and then we have gray water out, and then we do Joe Jenkins humanure system with mm-hmm. the sawdust and the compost piles. And then now we all kind of share the room upstairs, and so that's getting a little irritating, to be honest with you.
A bit, yeah.
All three of us in a little loft. And then I'm running out of space because of my soaping kind of side hobby, and I do a lot of sewing, and so all my shit is just kind of taking over the house, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did find out, you know, when we left the city to move up here, we got rid of, like, basically everything we own. You know, mm-hmm. we had tons and tons of stuff we got rid of. And it seems like if you are a retired person without any hobbies, you can live in one of those, like, tiny homes on the trailer.
Right.
But me, with my son and my husband, and we all have, like, hobbies.
Right.
It's just, you know, we really have to take advantage of all the space that we have.
Yeah, I don't know how some of these people, like, I've got a 12 by 20, and then a loft that runs about half that space. So, like, from, like, the living room, it's like a 12 by 8, maybe 12 by 10. Anyway, you know, and we got a lot of junk. Like, I minimized a lot when I moved in here, and then, you know, you get two more people, and then everybody's got their own little hobbies and their own little things. Like, Serenity's got her tie-dye business. I've got shit tons of survival gear, and, you know, people send me more stuff all the time, and it piles up. So I don't know how. You just got to be the most crazy minimalist person ever to live in, like, a 100-square-foot tiny house on wheels.
Yeah, I watch those shows, and the way they build out those tiny homes on those trailers, they fill it up with all this, like, expensive tile and all
oh, yeah.
this wood. And it's just, like, how heavy is that thing? And then, like, if you're actually living there, unrealistic dream of driving it all over the country. Like, is your truck going to be able to pull it through the mountains? Is all the vibration going to wreck the, you know, all your detailed work? And then, I don't know. I think those people build them and then it's not realistic. Because if that's the case, why don't they just buy an Airstream where everything's like
made,
built, ready to go? And yeah. it's like super nice.
Yeah. If I ever decided to, like, I wanted a tiny house to move around, I'm buying an RV. I'm not building, like, I don't ever want to build another tiny house again. I will definitely be adding on to this one, but it's a pain in the ass. And I don't want to make it, you know, you're limited by so much space to build one of those tiny ones. None of that, like, the only thing, like you said, like, they put expensive stuff in there. Like, the only thing that's really good about it is, because it is so small, you can spend more money on buying those expensive things. But then you kind of balance yourself out to the price it would take to have a bigger space. You know, there's a sweet spot between how much space you want. Like, I definitely think the 2,500 square foot modern home is too much. Like, it's just wasted bullshit and too hard to heat and cool and all that.
And clean,
yeah. But I think, like, I would be luxurious for me to be in like 900 square foot now. I'm like, oh God, all this room. What am I going to do?
Yeah, with our house, I stay home with my son. And so I'm making, you know, 90% of the meals you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner. And so I told my husband that I'm not skimping on the stove. I'm not skimping on the fridge. I don't want to buy a little tiny fridge that we can't, you know, have to go to the grocery store every other day to keep buying fresh stuff, you know, to put into it.
Yeah.
And so I dedicated kind of a lot of space, like an entire wall of our home to like countertop and a full size stove and oven, and a sink. And, I didn't want to skimp because I don't want to cook in super cramped quarters. Like on those tiny home show, you'll see like one or two burner, little tiny stove tops and no oven. And that's just not realistic if you want to save money and cook giant meals and can them up and, you know, can fruit and stuff or jams and jellies and pickles. I mean, you just, that's just not enough counter space to be able to do all that.
It's tough. And, it's, so it was a lot easier when I was a bachelor, and my tiny refrigerator was just fine then, but now with two more mouths to feed, and I had a deep freezer, but that went out. So that, a deep freezer, like, because I built, you know, physically built the house to fit the deep freezer, so I can store food in there, it went out, so now I need to get a new one. But the tiny refrigerator, so tired of that thing. Not enough room. I totally agree with you on that now. And
you put leftovers in there or anything, beer, nothing.
Yeah, it's really tough to fit stuff in there. And one of my main things that I was happy about it, Stephen Harris fucking ruined it for me. I was like, it's a tiny fridge. That means the compressor is smaller. It requires less energy, and I can run it off of a smaller powered inverter easily. No, apparently they don't make smaller compressors. There's one size compressor for every size refrigerator. So it's the same size compressor in my little tiny fridge that it is in a giant fridge. So that's where, because for a while there I'd kicked around the idea of having two of the small ones just stacked on top of each other.
Okay.
And but that would be two compressors of the same size as the big refrigerator. So I guess I'm just going to go get, you know, maybe not a full size refrigerator, but at least, you know, a tall apartment type refrigerator.
Yeah.
There's just not enough room. And then with us trying to be more strict on keto, we're doing a lot of casseroles recently. Like the weather's starting to kind of try to cool off. So, I don't like to run the oven during the summertime if I can help it. But just, you know, some easy like keto casseroles and just warm up pieces and just have food to go that way. But then we don't have room in the fridge half the time.
Yeah, even if you were to make like a pot roast on keto and then stick the leftovers in the fridge, it's just like where then you have nothing else in your fridge because the whole pot roast is taking out the whole fridge.
It's like Tetris in there. It's trying to like finagle everything. And so yeah, it's what one of the things we've been kicking around doing is just canning up stuff, just like make a giant pot of spaghetti, keto style, or you know, whatever. Giant thing of like meatloaf. You know, whatever, and just start canning it up so we don't have to worry about the refrigerator space as much. So that's something we'll probably do in the winter, but I'm still going to just go get a full size. Like, that's my recommendation. You heard from me and Nikki. If you're going to live in a small space, dedicate the area for a big fridge. It's just not worth it. I did see two people that they had gotten two deep freezers off of, like, Craigslist, and then they modified one of the deep freezers with a thermostat thing, like a cheap like $20 trick they did so that it was refrigerator temperature, and they used them as like counter space. Like they put like this sliding wood thing over it, and I'm like, well, that's clever. And you know, deep freezers hold the air because it doesn't spill out when you open the door, but you're also like having to bend down and, you know, dig stuff out of there, and I'm like, it's a neat idea, but I just don't really think it's as practical as, you know, just a refrigerator. I really don't.
Yeah, and then, like, if you have kids and stuff, like, cheese sticks and lunch meat will be lost in the bottom, and then it will turn, and then you gotta take everything out, scrub it out, and
right.
It just sounds like, I mean, again, maybe if it's just for a couple or a single person, that might work.
Yeah.
We have a really big refrigerator with the freezer on the bottom, and then we have a little tiny deep freeze that looks like a dorm refrigerator, but it's actually a freezer.
Nice.
And so when my husband, he'll get a deer or we had a buddy get a deer for us last year. Then we send some of the deer in to get turned into, you know, sausage and different mm-hmm. things. And then I'll cut up the deer into steaks, and then we get some of the deer ground up, and then I'll can, like, a bunch of, like, deer taco meat or deer sloppy joes, and just plain ground up deer, can it up. So then some of it's in the freezer, some of it's canned up. And then if I'm gone or I go on vacation, they don't even have to think. They just open up cans of deer meat and eat it.
Delicious. Yeah, that's what we're going to start moving towards, is just canning up little meals like that so we can just eat them. Because I do most of the cooking, and sometimes I just don't feel like it. Like, I enjoy cooking, you know, but some days you get home, you're tired of shit, and you're like, man, I just worked like an 8-hour day. I'm not cooking today. So.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been jumping all over my list here. We've actually covered the water, the toilet we've talked about. You know what? I don't want to touch on the toilet, because I get questions from people sometimes. Like, when you tell people that you poop in a bucket and cover it with sawdust, you raise some eyebrows.
Especially with your mom, women friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the stigmata is that your house is going to smell like shit and pee. You know, it's just going to be such a weird thing. And how did you make the adjustment to pooping and peeing in a bucket?
I grew up with just a dad. So, like, we were camping, and I didn't have, like, a girly upbringing.
Right.
So, I mean, my grandparents had a cabin that had an outhouse at one point. So, I mean, that kind of stuff doesn't bother me. What bothered me, the thought of, was having an outhouse up here and going out there in the middle of the night when it's 20 below.
Yeah.
And no way. Absolutely not. I'd much rather just use the bucket method. And what happened was, my husband wanted the house to be 100% off grid. And I was like, no way. Winters are way too long. Where are we going to put all the batteries? We don't have room for all these batteries, you know. And so, it kind of turned into an argument.
Yeah.
And then we both settled on having the house wired and then doing a compost toilet with the agreement that he was in charge of dumping the bucket, because I didn't want any part of that.
Yeah.
And so that was the agreement we came to. So we go to a lumber yard up the road, because logging is pretty big up here, and they'll fill up an entire trailer full of sawdust for, like, I don't know, $10 or a couple bags of coffee or, you know, whatever we want to give the guys.
Right.
And that's about 10 months worth of toilet sawdust for us. So we have a big pile in the yard of sawdust. We found last year, we got a really, really cold winter, and the sawdust pile started freezing. So this year we got a bunch of buckets, and we're going to put the sawdust into buckets, and then, you know, it'll be easier to just bring a frozen bucket of sawdust in the house to thaw than try to chip at it with a shovel.
It's a good idea.
And then, there's, you know, it's a rural community, so we have access to tons of straw for the compost piles. And then my husband got this humongous thermometer, and he's, like, obsessed with keeping track of the temperature of the shit pile, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And so in the summer, it runs about 140 degrees, and then it doesn't really freeze solid until about February, you know, after it's, like, deep, deep into winter.
Right.
And then the grossest part, though, about that, and then we throw our food scraps out there and stuff, and is in the summer, the pile's so warm that it's just covered in snakes trying to keep warm.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's absolutely disgusting. And so I cannot even, like, go and put food scraps out there, because I'm definitely afraid of snakes. And there's just, I don't know, 10, 20 snakes out there all the time.
Yeah. I've seen your posts on snakes. It can be pretty hilarious.
Oh, and it was funny, too, because my son, we potty trained him by having him go outside and, you know, pee on a tree. and then he uses the compost toilet, and then we'll go, like, use the bathroom at, like, Walmart or a store or something, and he'll be like, Mom, I'm peeing in water.
Like, what a weird concept, yeah. Yeah. Serenity took to the composting toilet fairly well, because if you manage your composting toilet right, you know, you cover it with the sawdust, you don't let it get too full, or overfulling, you know, overflowing, then there's not a smell. Like, if you smell it, then you know it's like, oh shit, I better go empty that, it's time. But, you know, otherwise, you could not tell there's a bucket of poop, like, 10 feet away from me right now.
No, and, like, to be honest with you, I've gone into, like, porta potties that are a million times nastier. Like,
oh, yeah.
They smell disgusting. You see that gross blue water with, like, shit sprayed everywhere. Yep. It's so much worse than my home system.
Yeah. And, you know, we're building soil. Still trying to get Skylar used to covering his poop, though. He's just, you know, grew up his whole life without a composting toilet. So, like, if you poop, you put sawdust on poop dust. Still working on that. Serenity's well adapted to it at this point.
Well, and, like, if we have company come over, I'll make my husband take the bucket out, whether it's full or not, and just put in a brand new one.
Right.
Just so people aren't used to it, and I don't want them to be super, you know, horrified by it even more than they already are.
Right.
I have had some friends that are very horrified of it that don't really say anything, and they just, like, refuse to go to the bathroom while they're at my house. And then that makes me laugh, because it's like, well, you're the one holding it, not me. Like,
yeah.
I don't care if you want to hold it or not.
Yeah, I'll just shit anywhere. Like, some people are really weird about it. They're like, I know people that won't shit at work, and I'm like, well, one, you're getting paid for it. And two, I'm not going to backflow myself up. Like, I'll poop anywhere, anytime. I don't care.
That was the other thing we installed in our bathroom was a fan. Because my husband's like, the house is too small to didn't smell each other, so we had to install a fan, and then we put in a pocket door on the bathroom because we didn't have room to have the door slide, you know, in and out.
Right.
So the pocket door definitely helps with the fan on, make life a lot easier, like in the winter when we can't open the windows.
Right. Oh yeah, toilet. So, wow, we've covered through a lot of this list. Heating and cooling. So the things that I like about a tiny house are you have such a smaller area, and, you know, I built this place from scratch, so I know that I insulated it super well. It's not that hard to heat and cool it. Like, the summers are pretty brutal, and getting it cooled down enough with just a tiny air conditioner I have can be a little hard, but, you know, I've got a tiny air conditioner, and it's keeping it livable. Maybe not like, you know, I would like it to be 62 degrees inside year-round. Certainly not so much. That's my preferable temperature. But, you know, since it's so small, it's a lot easier than, like, you know, the amount of energy it takes to heat and cool, like, a 2,500-square-foot house. So how do you heat and cool your tiny house?
We have two air conditioners, actually, one for downstairs and then one for the loft. We went last year without one upstairs, and it cools off with fans and stuff, but this year I was like, no way, let's just get a second air conditioner and have the bedroom at least ice cold all night long.
Right.
And then, and really the air's only on maybe a month and a half total the whole year. And then with our regular size oven, in the winter, I purposely will make a lot of soups and stews and pot roasts and pork roasts in the oven just so it heats up the house.
Right.
And then when I take it out, I just leave the oven door open for a while until it cools off. And then we heat the house with a pretty small wood stove, a cast iron wood stove. We took the Rocket Mass heater course. Ernie and Erica came to Minnesota, actually, and we drove up there and took the class from them.
That's awesome.
And then, yeah, yeah, so we got to meet Ernie and Erica and learned all about making rocket mass heaters and all this. But our house is built on posts, so it's not on a basement.
Mm.
And the amount of weight that the rocket mass heater was going to take, we would have had to, like, go under the house and reinforce it somehow. I don't know. Travis was talking with Erica about it, and it sounded like a huge pain in the ass, and we just, at the time, didn't have money for it.
Right.
And so we've just been using this little wood stove, and it heats, I mean, every single year, we usually have to start running it about Halloween time, and every single year, we put way too much wood in it and get the house up to, like, 90 on accident, and then we have to, you know, refigure out our systems again, and then, so, yeah, we heat with wood, and then we have some infrared heaters that we have on, so, like, if we're gone for a few hours, you know, the heaters will come on, and then the pipes for the well and stuff won't freeze.
Right.
And then we just try not to go on any vacations during the winter more than maybe like an overnight.
Right.
Just to make sure that nothing freezes up. And then upstairs, I mean, it's pretty cold in here when we wake up in the morning. I want to say maybe 50 degrees. And so we all have extra blankets on our beds and all wear slippers and robes and different things for the morning until the wood stove kicks on again. And then on the really, really cold weeks in January, we have a space heater for upstairs for overnight mm-hmm. that we'll put on if it gets too cold, because I don't want to wake up and put more wood in the wood stove, because I'm had to wake up with my kid his whole life and I'm done waking up in the middle of the night to do stuff.
Right. Yeah. It's an interesting, like, difference. Like, you're running your air conditioner like 2 months out of the year, month and a half out of the year, and then your heater is your main concern the rest of the year, you know, whereas mine will be different now with Serenity and Skylar, but, you know, I'm fine with like 50 degrees in the house. I'm like, I'll just put on a toboggan cap and sit here in my hoodie and I'm fine. And Serenity's like, I will murder you. You will turn that heat up. You know, because when I lived in my apartment, I went like 2 winters without using any heat. Like I just, my AC went out, like the central air went out and I was just like, man, whatever. I'll just use, electric blankets and stuff. And, just, you know, I'm a little bit of weirder. Like I'm in the South, but the cold doesn't like, I just find it easier to put on like more layers and like just warm myself up. But, you know, and Same thing with the rocket mass heaters. Like I really, really wanted one, but I didn't build my house specifically to accommodate one. And I moved it, so that wouldn't have worked at all. But I've looked around and there's just nowhere in my entire house to fit a rocket mass heater. And to be honest, there's nowhere for me to even put a wood burning stove. Like I'd have to like massively rearrange everything and start throwing out furniture and stuff. So, until I can figure out how to squeeze in one. And this pisses me off. You can get like, one of those smaller cast iron wood burning stoves. You know, you can get them at Lowe's for like $150-$200. But it's this, when you get smaller, the price skyrockets. Like I saw a tiny house wood stove that would be the perfect size for my tiny house. A fucking grand. Yeah. And I'm like, it's less material you lose. Like, you know, but scale of demand or whatever. So,
And you know what? You're better off not getting one of those because you just have to cut the wood smaller and then the wood burns out too fast. And it's just, in the long run, it will be more of a headache and you're spending more money on it.
Right. There's one that's for tiny houses, but it's like a vertical long one. And super insulated, so you can put it right next to the wall, like I think the Kimberly or the Kimber or something. It's like $5,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're just paying for the design instead of like the functionality.
Yeah, I mean, it can go like, I think 6 inches away from a wall. It's that well insulated. But I don't have $6,000. So that'll never happen. Like, even if I won the lottery, I'd still be like, I'd probably rather not get you steel. So yeah, I've just been heating with, I've got one of those propane Mr. Buddy burner, whatever those are. It does great. And then I've got a little electric space heater that has the, thermostat, so I get it to kick on when it drops below a certain temperature, and probably gonna have to get a bigger one this year. I think the first year I was here, I had a kerosene heater, and, it's too much. I don't want it to be 9 degrees in here. That's not going to make me happy at all. So kerosene was running me out, and, I have to get the tiniest kerosene heater to be effective. Just the bigger standing cylindrical ones, too much heat, can't work. So
that's, do you have electric at all? Is your house wired at all? Or are you completely off the grid with just propane?
Oh, no, I have electricity. So I'm using some of the small, tiny electric heaters. I just need a bigger one, to be honest. I'm jealous of the wood heat. I would love to have wood heat. I would have to build an addition on to house it. So it gets funky.
Yeah, we had to, it took a while to get our, wood rotation down. Because moving from the city, you don't realize that you have to cut wood, harvest trees in your property, and then let it dry out for a year, maybe even 2 years, before you can actually burn it.
Right.
And then, last year, we had a huge snowfall, in the middle of April, which is kind of rare. So it was we were burning wood until basically May.
Good Lord.
And we had to actually go out and buy, a trailer, a cord of wood, for the spring heat that we needed it for.
See, and that's usually, for me, March, April, I don't need anything. My air conditioner is probably off and the heat's off. I'm just coasting at that time.
Nice.
Which is nice. Yeah, I don't have to spend money to heat or cool. It's just the perfect sort of temperature, luckily.
Up here in April, it's usually, one fire at night or something, or right when you wake up in the morning, and that's it. But this year, we just got hammered with, a foot of snow, and I think Jeff, out in the other side of Wisconsin, he, at one point, I think, got, 30 inches or something totally crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the fucking global warming. That's keeps getting it. So, do you have any, space-saving ideas? If you get on Pinterest, you see some crazy shit, but most of that's crazy Pinterest bullshit. What have you done that actually works?
First of all, we bought a bed with drawers underneath so we can store stuff under our bed.
Nice.
From IKEA, so it wasn't overly expensive. And then, again, from IKEA, they had a 15-inch sink for our bathroom. And so it's very, very tiny sink. But it has storage underneath it as well. And then basically everything we do, we take advantage of the vertical space. We hang pots and pans up on the wall.
Yeah.
We do made little shelves upstairs in our loft. So it does suck taking all the canned goods up the ladder to store them, but it's what we got for now. The TV stand that I have, I bought something specifically with drawers underneath it so we can store different things under the TV stand. And then, the footstool end table thing that we have in front of the couch is actually the lid lifts up that we can store blankets in it. And then we don't really have any closets in here, so, everything is, on hooks or, folded up and put away in drawers. And then we got rid of our... When we bought the house, it was a shell of a house, so inside was not finished at all. And it had this huge staircase, so we just kind of tore the staircase out and just put a ladder upstairs to the loft.
Right.
So that had a bunch of space. And then, as far as my son's toys, every so often I just have to clean all the shit out and just make him go through it all and pick out what he wants to keep and get rid of. And, some of it will go in the shed, and then we'll swap out toys, every 6 months, so he's not really getting bored of things, and then constantly taking stuff to the thrift store, because I snap every once in a while and just, start getting rid of shit, because it's just cluttered up everything.
Yeah,
We have a shed too. We bought a shed. It's I forgot the dimensions of the shed, but it's a decent sized shed out there that we can store like maple syrup equipment and mushroom hunting baskets and cross country skis and ice skates and all stuff that we enjoy doing, but don't have room to store it all in the house.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, if you go this route, like the route that you and I go, a shed to store that just bullshit that doesn't need to be in the house, that's a must. Like, you know, like, how often do you use your snow skis? Like, a few times, like, and just wasting the room inside. I've got a lot of my survival gear stored out there, like the bulky stuff, like my sleeping bags, just extra stuff like that. You know, it's, I got a lot of it. It doesn't all need to be inside.
Extra gas is out there. I mean, tools, yeah. Chainsaws, all that stuff.
All of our power tools, yeah. Axes, bow saws, all that stuff's out in the shed. Some of Serenity's business stuff is out there. Just, you gotta have a shed. Like, it's kind of weird to have a tiny house and then a shed that's, you know, and sometimes equaling the size. You know, like, my house is a 12 by 20, the shed's a 10 by 10. You know, it's all, you know, it's pretty close to the house size. But it's, you know what? And I kind of want to be that guy that, like, if you ever watched the Wrangler Star videos,
no.
I want to be the guy that has, like, a giant warehouse for, like, a workshop. Like, I want a tiny house, but a giant workshop. Like, I want to go out there and, like, park my, like, backhoe in it. And have, you know, I want a giant work area. But, because it's the same thing, like, some people, when they go on vacation, they want a big hotel room and stay in it. I want to go and stay in, like, a roach motel and just sleep there and leave. Like, I want to spend as little money as I can just to sleep in the space and then go enjoy the fun activities out in the world. So I guess there's, like, you know, there's two kinds of people. There's the sleeping people and then the adventuring people.
Yeah, I think that the shed is a must-have for sure, because otherwise it's like when you live out here and you have to, like, cut wood and do different things, you need somewhere to store all that junk, like the tools and all that stuff, to be able to do all that. And then if you have any other kinds of hobbies, you need to store all that stuff out there. And, like, up here, wood ticks are extremely bad. And so, like, if you don't keep your grass short, like, your dog and your kid and everybody's covered in wood ticks. My husband got Lyme disease when we first moved up here. That was just a nasty sickness. Wow. And so, yeah, keeping everything short is a must.
Yeah, ticks are atrocious here. It doesn't get cold enough to ever kill them. So, you know, we're getting ticks in, like, December and shit. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Well, and, like, we built a deck last summer. And at first I thought the deck was going to be stupid. but now I'm like, what's the point of doing this? Like, you know, and now that we have it, it's nice because then we were able to get a grill. And so, like, the grill, you know, is backup cooking for when the power goes out. We had a storm last summer. We didn't have power for 3 days. I had to cook all the meals on the grill. So we have backup propane for it. And then there's just backup seating out there, you know, if you want to sit outside and get away from the people in the house. You can go out and shut the windows and sit out on the deck and quiet.
Yeah.
So it actually increases your living space, just not all year round, because obviously we can't sit out there in the winter.
Right. I had on my list to talk to you about utilizing outdoor space. It's when you have a family and you live in a tiny space, you know, 200, 400 square feet, you got to get away from them sometimes. Like, you just, if you're around the same people all the time, like, you just want to murder each other. So, you know, we've got, like, some hammock kind of hang area outside, you know, like a little tiny deck with some chairs on it. Like, just being able to get out of the same room as someone and just go elsewhere. And, you know, I feel like to go sit out in nature just really helps you out.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, up here, I make it a point to have my son outside in like all temperatures, you know, whether it's really cold winter or hot. And so that's why we have the skis and the ice skates and different things, just so we're not getting cabin fever, like turning into The Shining and killing each other with an axe.
Right. Oh, that's a good idea. Not enough kids get enough outside time. So that's important. I'm trying to get Skylar into playing more outside stuff. And, you know, I'm on a big disc golf kick recently. I played this morning before I talked to you, which was a terrible idea, actually. I was like, we'll get up early. We'll go play disc golf before it gets, cause it's going to be 91 today, you know, with like probably 1,000% humidity. But then the grass was so covered in dew that we came home drenching. Like my socks were like, I had to wring them out and, still had fun, but you know, but, so yeah, getting outside.
Yeah, we've lived like this for 3 years now. And so we don't have a washing machine or any of that in the house. I have to drag it all to town. And so I finally just told my husband that we need an addition put on. And so instead of putting on a little tiny addition, we're putting on a 20 by 16 addition, which will be our room. And then it's going to have a different bathroom in there and then an actual closet that I can store all my soap making oils in.
Nice.
And the bathroom that's in here now, we're going to tear out the shower and turn it into like a pantry and then put a washer and dryer in there. And I can't wait. I'm so sick of sharing a room with my kid.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. Like, at least Skylar stays downstairs and we stay in the loft when we sleep. You did just say that your addition is going to be bigger than my entire house, right?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. That's awesome. We're planning on putting Skylar like a 10 by 10 addition on, like for his own room, which I feel is, you know, adequate for hell. At one point, this isn't even my first go at living in a tiny house. Like when I was, 22 or 24 or something, I built 2 10 by 10 sheds and just lived in those for a couple months. Just cause I was a weirdo. I mean, this is before I'd ever even heard about the tiny house movement. I'm just like, I can buy these sheds and just live in here. And then I don't have to pay rent because rent sucks ass. But anyway.
Yeah, I lived out of my truck for about a month and a half when I was like 21. You know, just stayed in Walmart parking lots, lived out of my truck. And I mean, just like camping. You just tell yourself, who cares? It's just camping, just where you sleep. You don't need to have the fanciest thing.
Yeah, people can survive on pretty much a lot of things. Like, and I need to do another episode. Like, the very first episode of the Survival Punk podcast ever was on, like, when me and Mike were homeless, which is how we met, really. And then when you're homeless and you're, like, sort of couch surfing and living in cars, like, there's a lot of survival lessons in there. But the first episode of this podcast was the worst thing ever. It's completely unlistenable. Like, if anyone's listened to it, like, I feel like I owe you like a sticker, like I owe you merchandise for like wasting your time. I think we've covered just about everything, in a roundabout way. Like we jumped all around my list and I, you know, the list was more or less, to give me some focus and, you know, in case there's any lulls in conversation. But I figured we'd chat pretty much the whole time, and we did. You have anything to add? Anything you want to share?
Serenity made me a really nice vinyl sticker for my water bottle that says "Bitches get shit done," and I absolutely love it. And now I'm coming. I do a lot of volunteering at the school garden, and I'm getting in trouble bringing my water bottle to the garden with all the children. So she's gonna have to make me another sticker that I can put on something else.
Yeah. She's been doing a lot of vinyl, so, and I'm sure she's up for a trade. She's been like lustily talking about your soap race. She's like, I really need some soap. Really need some soap. So
is she trying to tell you stink, or does she just want like some nice soap?
we're both pretty well, like, not, what's the word I'm looking for here? We're spoiled. We're spoiled by good handmade soap. So, you know, and we've got so many friends that make soap, and I'm a big, if my friends own a business, I'm going to buy from them. Like, I've bought soap from you. I've bought soap from Cheryl. You know, and it's, you pay a little bit more than you do in the store, but you're not getting, like, drowned in sodium lauryl sulfates. You're not getting bullshit. And, you know, it smells better. Like, I can't go to the store and get soap that smells like yours and leaves me feeling clean, you know, like, without that, just like a, that soap scummy, just gross. Like, I don't like it.
I use good oils in my soap, too. I use pig lard for my friend's lard pigs.
Yeah.
And then I use coconut oil and shea butter. And it's the only thing that keeps my skin moisturized in the winter when I have the wood stove on. So I purposely put in tons of oils so, you know, you don't get that itchy, dry, yucky skin in the winter.
Right. Do you, just so I can make sure I include it, do you have a shop link where I can send people so they can buy me your merchandise?
I do. It's on Etsy. It's Handmade by Nikki057.
I will find it and link to it.
I have to upload some more soap photos on there. I took a bunch down because I sell at the farmer's market during the summer.
Right.
So most of my sales are through there, but I'll put some more soap on there today.
Awesome. And Serenity was also like, we should road trip to buy one of Nikki's pies. And I'm like, we can't road trip to buy one of her pies. It's too far.
Yeah, come up to Wisconsin and then we can get Jeff, we'll meet up with Jeff. We'll all meet like in the middle of the state.
That's, you know what? That's definitely on the agenda. Like, I've been asked by a lot of people to have sort of a meetup or something. So, and it's weird that a lot of the people that listen to my podcast are all up in that upper area, like Michigan, Wisconsin, like odd up in, really? That little corner. Yeah. So,
I was in Tennessee last summer and it was kind of a shit show. So I'm a little scared to go back.
You went to the wrong part of Tennessee. Like you come to Nashville. I'll show you some good food and you'll leave like, well, for sure. Nashville was nice. And they had some, like, your socks would explode off. Like, there's some damn good food in Nashville. Which, you know, give or take, like, Nashville's a pretty laid back, you know, type of state, but, Nashville's very hipsterish. And if the hipsters know anything, it's food and beer. So
yeah,
you're good to go. Like, there's a lot of like little indie breweries and a lot of like, you know, a lot of places with a lot of craft beer on tap. So, beer and food. Nashville's got it.
Yum.
And Nashville hot chicken. I've never had it from like the legit Nashville places, but I've had like, there's an English pub in Nashville that I go to eat like legit English food. Like, it's ran by English people. And, they've got a Nashville Cornish hen that's delicious. So.
Oh, yum. That sounds really good.
Yeah, and then, you know, just fish and chips and British pies and stuff. But, yeah, I can show you all around where the food's at.
No. So I guess the eastern part of Tennessee is the shit show then that I was in.
There's pockets of it, just like there's everywhere. Like, eastern Tennessee usually tends to be, like, redneck Methville.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, not necessarily the pride of Tennessee, but the number one capital of meth is either Tennessee or Missouri. Like, we battle back and forth for it. So,
wow.
You go to the bad parts, you know, there's parts in Nashville that are shit shows, but, Nashville started to demolish all of the projects and move in yuppies. So,
nice.
Yeah, so nice. Yeah. You know, instead of like the hood, now we've got like taco joints and gastropubs. So, yeah, you know, whatever.
In Wisconsin, we just have serial killers that eat other people, so I guess it all balances out.
Yeah. So, you know what? And before I wrap up here, there was a Netflix show I meant to send you a link to called Dark Tourism. The guy's like a New Zealander or Australian, and he goes on some like Jeffrey Dahmer like walk, like a pub crawl, like a, yeah, it was weird. Like there was a bunch of like Dahmer groupies and they're walking around like, and that's what Dahmer's ghost is. Like it was this weird like little tour where they drank on. I'm like, has Nikki done this? I bet she wants to.
That's on the other side of the state from me, and they tore down his apartment where he was doing all those killings.
Yeah.
But you can do like twisted tours like that in different cities of like really old murders or like right. current murders. Yeah, it's kind of macabre, but kind of interesting.
Yeah. I'm like, that's bucket list. Go drive over there. All right. Well, it's been great talking to you. I think we've covered everything here. Hopefully the audio turns out good. And we'll probably try to get this episode up today. I usually publish on Wednesdays, but it's a late start. So, I don't know.
Awesome. Well, it was good talking with you, James. And tell Serenity I said hi.
I sure will. Have a good day.
You too. See you later.
Bye-bye.